welcome all of you and welcome those worshiping with us online today as well. Now, what happens when you're too busy for what matters? That's what we're going to talk about today. Sometimes we do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and we become efficient, and maybe we become aggressive, and maybe we get a job, and then we get another job, and then we have a student loan debt, and then we have a car payment, and then we get a girlfriend, and she turns into a wife, and that turns into a baby, and that turns into diapers, and then another baby, and more diapers, and preschool. And then we've got Mother's Day out and soccer and dance and ballet and braces and more kids and a second job and more debt, and we feel overwhelmed. How many of you would say, I always feel a little bit rushed. I always feel a little bit anxious. I always feel a little bit overwhelmed, and I don't seem to have time to do all the things I need to do. And if you're like me, you try to squeeze in more and try to become more efficient. And when you go to the grocery store, you try to analyze the lines to make sure that you get in the fastest line so you can move on. It's not just being rushed, but many of you wonder, maybe in your life you've been disappointed. Maybe the pace and the intensity, there's something there, but it's also there's something missing in your life and you don't know what it is. You don't have any time to do the things that you want to do. You don't have time to do the things that you love. You don't have time for the people you love. And you might ask yourself, is life really supposed to be this way? What if I told you that the greatest enemy to the life you want may be the life that you're living? I guess a lot of you are a lot busier than you should be. You've got places to go and jobs to do and bills to pay and kitchens to clean. You've got kids to raise and news to read and yards to mow and dinner to cook, clothes to buy and clothes to wash and clothes to wash and clothes to wash. You have photos, and then you have to have captions to write there. And the pace of life is faster and faster, and you're sprinting, and you don't seem to have the time to do the things you want to do, the things you wish you had time for. You don't have time for the meals and for family and for deep conversations with friends and to rest and to reflect and to read and to enjoy times of intimacy with your Heavenly Father. But the good news is that nobody else does either, so maybe that's the plan, right? What if I told you that your greatest enemy to the life you want may be the life that you're living? We're looking at the truth of Jesus, but we're also looking at the way. The way that Jesus lived and the way that Jesus loved. Because Jesus wants us to live that way. He wants us to love that way. And so what did Jesus do? Well, he started a ministry for 3 years. And in that time, he embraced the Father's mission. He recruited 12 different guys and trained them in kingdom values. He endured the hatred of the Pharisees. He healed all kinds of sick people. He loved all kinds of hurting people, and he gave the word of God fearlessly every chance he got. He fulfilled 351 Old Testament prophecies. And you think about it, Jesus never ran. No place in the Bible will you see that Jesus ever ran. There's no record of him running, jogging, fast walking, skipping, or sprinting. You won't see Jesus doing a marathon. Jesus was busy, but he was never rushed. And there's a difference. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, we need to get more done, right? I feel the same way. A lot of times, Jesus was with his disciples. You never heard Jesus say, guys, hey, look at your watch. We're supposed to be in Capernaum right now. We're running late. There are people waiting on us. We've got to do double time. We're going to have to hurry to get there as quick as we can. Jesus was busy with important stuff, but he never rushed. He never once ran. And in the Gospel of Mark, it says, as Jesus walked along, he saw Levi, also was called Matthew, same guy, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Now, if Jesus' life is unrushed, And if Levi got up and walked with Jesus, then certainly his life must have been unrushed as well. So my question to you and me is, how come our lives are not unrushed? And if you think about it, if we follow Jesus, we should be living an unrushed life. By the way I live, it's very different from the way that Jesus lived. And you may be rushed and stressed and overwhelmed and exhausted and trying to get everything done and always falling short. And what does Jesus say? Jesus invites you and me to come. Come to him, he says. If you're worn out, if you're overwhelmed, if you're burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. The Gospel of Matthew says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And Jesus says, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me. Watch me. Learn to love and live the way I did. Don't just believe what Jesus believed, but live the way Jesus lived. He only lived for 33 years, and he only had 3 years in his ministry. He saved the world. He was called to be perfect. He had a mission that God had given him, and he also was one who was going to have a public ministry, but he waited 30 years to start it. It's fascinating to think what Jesus did in such a short time. He was baptized and the Holy Spirit fell upon him, descended upon him and like a dove in the form of a dove. And the Father said, this is my Son whom I love, whom I am well pleased. And God affirms him, and even before his public ministry begins and that he's done any miracles, he commissions him to change the world. And Jesus is ready to go. He's going to go out. He's going to do what he was created to do. And what's the first thing Jesus does? He takes a sabbatical. The Spirit leads him into the wilderness for 40 days. And there he draws close to God. And then he fights off the enemy. And then his identity is solidified. And it takes 40 days to go be with God. And the first miracle he ever performed was at a wedding. He went to a wedding and they ran out of wine. And his mother came to him and said, Jesus, they've run out of wine. Hello, can you do something about this? And Jesus turned the water into wine. And he said, stick around. Let's spend time together. There's no rush. Let's just hang out and enjoy this celebration. And then one time, Jairus, the synagogue leader, came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, my little girl is dying. Please come and save her. And Jesus starts walking with Jairus to save his little girl. And as he's walking along, another woman comes up to Jesus. And she comes to him and she's crying and she interrupts him. And she tells him that she's been sick for 12 years. And he stops what he's doing, even though he's on his way to save this little girl's life. He stops. And he gives this woman his undivided attention. And then he heals her. And while he's taking time with this woman, the word comes that the little girl has died. What's going to happen? Let's watch.
Oh, I know you. Get away from him.
Stop it, please.
Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi.
This woman bleeds.
She is unclean. We remove her.
Please, I promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Oh, please, just a moment. Just a
Everybody back. I asked a question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me. I felt that power went out of me. Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. Thank you. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours.
Like I indeed came to the right man.
Well, between you and her, it's quite a big day of faith.
No, what is this?
Jess, while you were gone.
No. Why do I hear mourners and flutes? I said not to do that. She was sick.
Your daughter passed away.
No, I was getting dizzy. I went as fast as I could.
Do not be afraid. Only believe. She will be well.
All of you, stop it. I said stop.
You listen to me right now.
Come, let's give them a moment.
Michal.
Where were you?
I was finding this mess.
She is dead and you were gone. Why would you just leave us?
Trust me. Please trust me and trust him.
What? For once?
Hello.
No.
No.
There are no other words. Thank you.
Thank you for your faith. I pray that more in the synagogue will share it.
And Jesus walked where he went. And when he walked, he encountered people. And he stopped and he spent time with them and he ministered to them and he blessed them. And if Jesus wasn't rushed with all he had to do, then why are we? My guess is that most of us are rushed over the pressure in our lives. We're pushing because we're either running from something or we're running to something. Running from insignificance, running toward acceptance. Maybe we're running from insecurity or hurt or abuse. Maybe we're running to something, a goal or a vision. Maybe we want to get married or have success or popularity or fame or be liked. And the problem is that in today's culture, you're chasing a life that even if you get it, it may still be very empty. What if the greatest enemy of your life is actually the way you're living it right now? Always rushed and pushing. Some of you say, well, you don't understand. I work for a living. I've got a full-time job. You're just a pastor. You just work 30 minutes on Sunday morning. What do you know about having a real life? But you know what? We have time for what we choose to have time for. The solution is not more time. The solution is to take more time for what matters most. And the reason we don't have more time is because we're mindlessly spending our lives on things that don't matter. Social media, television, video games. Did you know the average person with social media spends 706 hours a year on social media? Now, if you work 8 hours a day and you divide that by 706 hours in just normal work days, you spend 4.5 months of working hours on social media. Television is worse, 2,700 hours. video games, the average guy, by the time he's 21 years old, spends 10,000 hours on video games. Now, if you spend 10,000 hours doing that and you make $10 an hour, what would you have at the end of that if you applied it? $100,000. If you're an average reader, you could read 2,000 books. You could become a concert pianist in that time. You could get your pilot's license. You could memorize the New Testament. You could get your undergraduate and graduate degrees in that time. And what about relationships? You might be able to save your struggling marriage if you devoted as much energy to that, to the person that you may be walking away from. You could possibly reconcile a relationship that's gone south, maybe with a family member and things aren't what they used to be. You could have the most intimate relationship with your children that you could ever imagine. You could do something that really matters, or you could mindlessly waste your time on something that doesn't. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. God calls us to love him and to love others and to be a witness to them. And the challenge is that love is incompatible with hurry. What does the Bible say? Love is patient. It's patient. It's not hurried. Love takes time. Hurry doesn't have time. So what do? We pray that God will help us to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. The first thing we can do is be present in the moment. We can leave our phone to the side and give people our undivided attention and try to help them. We can enter into the joy of hurting with people as they hurt, grieving with people as they grieve, celebrating with people as they celebrate, being present in the moment. Second, we can choose what's important, and we can eliminate what's not. Ask God to help you move slowly, to be more aware of the people around you, and to do what matters and not what doesn't matter. You have time for the things you choose to have time for. Choose what's important and eliminate what's not. Third, you can sense God's presence, and you can recognize his voice. You see God working in places. Maybe now you'll see him because before you were too busy to notice. You ask an additional question when somebody's talking to you. You just stop and spend time with them and listen to them and engage with them. You pray with people more. You make a friend. Walking slower with Jesus, he's helping you to love him and love others. And as Jesus walked along, every person that he loved and every miracle he performed, he did it as he walked, and he walked along with God. So my invitation for you and me today is this. God, help us to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. And here's what's so interesting. Think about how much Jesus walked. Think about the years he spent walking to get where he was going. But have you ever thought about this? Where was he walking? All that time spent walking, where was he going? Listen, Jesus was walking toward the cross. He was going there for you and me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we embrace the way he lived and the way he loved so that we can emulate that in our lives. And as you and I learn to walk with Jesus, we become more like him. Can you imagine what would happen in an angry, hurting world, a world that's divided, if there was a loving, caring, united church walking with Jesus in such a way that we might reach people who are far from God? And listen, If you and I choose to walk with Jesus, then where are we going? He's calling us to lay our lives down, to do something in life that's much more important than some of the things that we spend time doing that won't matter at all. You and I have time for what we choose to have time for. God, help us to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. Help us to walk with you and to be willing to be interrupted by you and to see the needs of your people and feel the joy and the honor that we receive from helping others. And Father, forgive our sins. Save us. Be first in our lives. Fill us with your Spirit. Lead us in your way. Teach us to love like you love. In your name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. If you're on the prayer team, I want you to come up front so people can see you. And if you've got a prayer concern today, you can bring that to them. And you don't have to carry it any longer. God brought you here today for a purpose. And maybe today you've been listening to the message and maybe it spoke to you and maybe you know that you need to change some things. And God can help you do that. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. And there are two or three gathered here with you. And they'll pray with you and you can leave your burden here and you don't have to carry it around anymore. And I'm going to ask them to go back to the garage door now so you can see them back there. I wanted you to eyeball them and see who they are. And when we stand to sing, if you'd like to pray, they'll be available to pray with you for whatever your need. Maybe it's a need for a friend. Maybe God put somebody on your heart. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's something that nobody knows about, but you know about it and God knows about it, and it's time for you to deal with it. So as we stand to sing, I invite you, go spend some time in prayer.